A little stage note before we begin. In the serving of communion today, which will be by intinction, that means dipping bread in the cup, we would like it that people come toward the table through the side aisles only and exit to your pew through the center aisle. So no one come down the center aisle, please. And you'll find that the movement is very smooth. And I have seen that the ushers and the worship commission have written this pattern in maps over the years, and we're going to make use of it today, and I hope hereafter. Let us pray. God, you have sent your word in Christ Jesus that we might hear and see and come to life. May what has been laid down in ancient years be for us a mystery of your present transmitting of your holy self. Through Christ we ask it. Amen. My sermon today is a little too long, unfortunately, but so was that fight in Washington over the last several weeks, and the two are a little related, as you'll see. We come to Jacob. Jacob is 40. He's become rich, he has family and possessions, but it is time for what the wisdom traditions call the inward arc of return. The outward arc, we talked about that two Sundays ago, the outward arc of adulthood explored and exploited the powers of personality. We creatively work our will on the world and in the world through love and labor, through friends and community and family. But comes this call to fulfill the outward with the inward arc of return, to cross a river homeward. In Homer's Odyssey, the hero heads home at 40 also. Perhaps one of the reasons that Jesus so transfixes our regard is that he headed home at 30. Very unusual. Jacob, we heard this, is terrified. Although his God has promised him good absolute several times, in the moment of really turning now from his double-dealing past to face his future, he is afraid. All the promises of God have vanished. Have you sometimes been like that? A lot of religion seems to work in this manner. The prayer formulas, the rituals, the comforting music sound in the ear again and again, justifying life's order and disorder, preparing us to labor on another week. But then a crisis comes, and for too many who hold themselves religious, there is no faith. Behaviors disintegrate into cruelty and disregard. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Thoreau wrote that almost 200 years ago, and today the mass is just more massive. This is a spiritual law, a rule inflexible in our human nature. In facing what grieves us, there are only two possibilities for the human. It is either misery or it is spiritual growth, one or the other. This call to come to the inward arc of return to the true self, to the home God makes within and above. This call does not yield our life long. Jacob must go now. And yet he cannot go. He cannot grow. He cannot become Israel. Except he meet the enemy within. This is how the arc of return begins. Jacob prays a simple prayer. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, for I am afraid of him. In other words, take this cup from me, not your will, my will. Keep me as I am. It's a childish prayer, like so many that we make. It supposes God high above, perceiving all things in one's future, the beloved child watched out for by the kind one who is careless whether you ever grow up. This is no God. And at the point of the inward arc of return, no heavenly voice answers. Jacob hears nothing. In the night, Jacob got up and he took all his family and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok along with everything he had, and he was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the rising of the dawn. In the beginning of the inward arc of return, God responds not from above, but from within. God responds in person, in your person, in a struggle in the night. Now, the struggle is a mystery. You can't set it up. You can't force the fight with God to make yourself grow. It's a strange gift to encounter such a struggle, to be given such a fight in such a night and such sight at the dawning of the day. The gift, however, strange though it be, is offered far more than we accept it. It can come through the veil of any crisis. At work, in health, in jail, I have been moved countless times by the stories of men in jail who speak of a transformation like Jacob's. The crisis can come through the addictions that crash the daily routine of life. It can come through an unwanted death, or a terrible breakdown in leadership in a church or in a nation. When a struggle of this kind is given, the mystery of its givenness is beyond us. But when it is given, whether to an individual or to a church or to a nation, the issue of the struggle is always a new identity, a way not like the old way, a new name in the night. If we do not accept the fight that is given, we cannot proceed. It is a law of the Spirit. No new history will issue from a nation unwilling to struggle for its true life. No truth and no generations will come from a church which refuses the fight. And for an individual who turns from the decision, only misery waits. Only misery, never maturity, no matter how the years pass. Now, when I was arranging this series of sermons a couple of months ago or more, I thought this reflection on the great struggle for a new identity would connect the theme from the personal, Jacob, and our own personal lives, to the communal reality here at the Riverside Church. But this jagged rift in our nation on display these last weeks, draped now in a weak truce, and then made the more jagged by a precipitous collapse of the full faith and credit of the markets of this country, these have refocused my eye. I couldn't ignore these matters. And yet it was not a hard thing to feel in the story of Jacob a different call, one coming to a nation as clearly it came to the nation of Israel, telling the story of Jacob renamed in the night Israel. The possibility of a struggle in the night for a new identity is coming again to the United States of America. Pace, that marvelous song of Leonard Cohen about democracy coming. Ah, not yet. A struggle. It is a spiritual struggle for the soul of a nation. Will we accept the strange gift? Will we engage it as individuals whose faith makes a claim upon us, as a church before God whose faith makes a claim upon us altogether, as a people who once again need a leader to declare, quote, that we hereby highly resolve that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. America, like Jacob, is terrified to meet the brothers and sisters whom it has cheated out of all that was dear to them. Their names are legion, but it is not hard in a few words to describe the tragic course of our nation's history. Our current distress is the psychic and spiritual accumulation of generations of denial, of refusing the terms of struggle for a new identity. We have denied the Native Americans reduced in genocide to few. We have denied the African slaves and their children and their children's children from generation to generation ignored. Where indeed in this nation is a serious conversation about reparations for these awesome crimes? We have denied the gory wars against small nations wherein our powers only defended our domination itself, while twisting terror into the fabric of our daily life in the name of a war on terror. This policy of mass incarceration, especially of black men, denied. With breathtaking predictability, brute force has concentrated wealth and power in ever fewer hands, stealing honest wages from multitudes and multitudes who themselves, so many, are confused and debased by media which have only the purpose to serve this amassing of wealth. And therefore, with equal predictability, I say this in reference to the Bible, to the words of the prophets. Brute force will ultimately crash the whole enterprise of the nation in sorrowful ruin. It is its only direction. It has no impetus within, no knowledge of how to stop its accretions of power and wealth and violence. This will happen unless the wise and the spiritual accept the struggle from which a new name in the night might bless us. This is a high calling and a terrifically urgent question. Let us understand something about a new identity in the spiritual sense. A new identity is the opposite of denial. It is a new decision about how to interpret the past. A new identity involves an honesty that faces all of the evil as well as the wondrous goods which are also multitudinous from this nation. A new identity is free with apology, free with amendment of practice. What person who has found Alcoholics Anonymous helpful does not know this? A new identity is free because it is no longer in terror that the past is going to leap up like some ghost and destroy its future. One who is genuinely free from the future, deliver us from evil, can be very honest about the past, forgive us our sins. A people with a new name are no longer attached to one necessary outcome, one essential future to dominate the world, failing which they and their leaders despair. No, a new name in the night, when conferred spiritually, is open, wide open to a future, able to partner with the divine light. It is detached, as the Eastern traditions say, detached from the fruits of action. Thus, able to act morally, courageously, in the present, to do the right thing. Jacob, he's been a dealer, a calculator of outcomes, the least free sort of being. But now Jacob is called Yisrael, one who strives with God face to face. For calculation and self-preservation are falling away from him like shattered shackles. The whole people, Israel, have been telling this story about themselves, first and foremost to remind themselves whence they came and where they are going. And if today's Israel is not telling the story in that mind, so much the worse for them and for us all. The entire claim of this story is to prepare us without calculation to go forth and meet our brother and sister whom we have feared in peace. Nothing could be more dangerous or devoid of truth than to demand that religion abstain from politics. To the contrary, when the religious abandon their duty to serve the nation through the value-shaping and identity-claiming practices of politics, politics shows up as nothing but human power piled on human power. It differs from the law of the jungle in nothing but degree of destruction. But here is true religion. The wisdom to see that in the heat of passion and insult, individuals normally tend to bring more heat and violence to all their conflicts, political and otherwise. Not everybody who is ready to make cause in his mind is ready in spirit to contribute to the peace of the world. Jacob's path, Jesus' path, is the path of nonviolence. And nonviolence is, first of all, an inward practice. It is this process of the inward arc of return, becoming nonviolent toward yourself by the grace of God. It is the spiritual fruit of coming to peace in oneself first before seeking the means to guide others away from the paths of greed and violence. Therefore, from Jesus, take the lesson of the new name, Christian-wise. Jesus says, You shall be born anew. You must be born from above. Now, for hundreds of years, Christians have treated themselves with the unbiblical idea that the action of baptism confers this new birth on us and sets us free to go on our merry way. This is a delusion, and it isn't even biblical. The Bible has it the other way around. When God reveals God's spiritual presence in a person's life, then she and he is to be baptized. Then they understand that what is born of flesh is flesh, and what of spirit is spirit. Then a person is free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last. For the deepest, truest freedom is revealed in this way, that in the power of God, you find yourself free not to do what you have right, power, and inclination to do. There is no freedom like that freedom. The power not to do what you have freedom right, right power and inclination to do. This we see in our Lord Jesus at the table, in our Lord at the cross. Just this freedom do we see, who was free not to do what he had both power and natural inclination to. In a word, Jesus was free to die. And it is people who are free to die who will help this nation from its terrible crisis. Unattached to the fruit of his action, truly. Unattached to what he might have hoped to accomplish. Jesus' work was brought by God to a fullness unlike any other in history. This is eternal life. So to trust in God, to be so free of calculation and worry, even 7 seconds at a time, that every deed and every thought is able to cooperate with the divine will. It was Jesus' gift. It is God's offer to you. But we come to it through a night of struggle. We have said here several times that these are the terms by which the Riverside Church will make sense of its hard times past and will come to itself in the 21st century. No part of our life together will remain unchanged, but neither will any part of the story be forgotten or denied. This morning, however, step with me into the spiritual tower of the Riverside Church to look out over a nation deep in confusion and dismay. Some rather large part of our people are terrified of the color of change which is coming across the whole nation. White with fear, this part of us is calculating night and day how to save a life, how to guard the old ways, how to keep the wealth, how to bar foreigners from the door, how to keep strangers from our face, how to keep the wars going, how to keep the wells drilling, how to keep fracturing the people and the ground on which they stand. It is a tragic scene. And it will end either in violence or in a blessing. The die is not cast, of course. The blessing of a new name in the night is the gift, I trust, it is the gift God would give. And more than ever, I am persuaded that the remnant of the Christian church, it is very small, that remnant, who understand the depth and meaning of the struggle for justice materially and spiritually and inwardly. The remnant of the Christian church must accept this fight. It is a fight, but it will be had nonviolently, detached from the fruits of their action, having learned the secret, as Paul said, of being well fed or of going hungry, of having plenty or of being in need. Some Christian communities have now the wisdom, the practices, the means, and the story to risk famine, peril, and sword in the time to come. Frederick Douglass said 150 years ago, power concedes nothing except at a demand. The time is coming for us to begin gathering a lost and desperate people for a new birth of freedom, to gain a new name in the night. Let